can a powerhouse woman under pressure tune into her pleasure? Can you be sharp in the boardroom and soft in the bedroom? Welcome to the Leader and Lover podcast. I'm your host, Cherie Spigner. We will take a journey and explore all aspects of Black women and having it all. We'll talk about relationship, career, status, religion, spirituality, love, and sex, all the things that contribute to the total us. So please join us as we take the journey on the Leader and Lover podcast, because girl, you definitely can have it all. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Leader and Lover podcast. This is your host, Cherie Spigner. I am so excited about today's episode. We are going to talk about careers. Yes, it is what puts food on our plates. It's the thing that helps us pay for shelter. It is what in many cases defines us, right? Having it all isn't really a conversation unless you have a career of some sort that is deemed successful. But what price do we pay? We hear about that emotional tax. We pay that in the corporate environment. But we also pay a tax at home sometimes. I remember, especially talking about that emotional tax, boy, I remember early in my career. I mean, my children were 2 and 4. I was fortunate enough to get a job at one of the cell phone giants. And this is when cell phones only had 2 carriers. And I worked at one of them. It was a very exclusive club. It was 30 people in customer service, and maybe one of them was Black. And then I was hired along with my really good girlfriend. We had a Black supervisor who was the one that helped us get on. My dad was dating her. And she coached us and guided us and helped us get those jobs, because that's what happens with every other culture, right? They get some help. We started working. And I had been in banking and I had been in insurance, so I had suits to wear to work every day. And because of that, the new people thought I was a supervisor. So I remember Diane had to give me a review. She was transitioning to another job. She gave me a stellar review, because that's what we do. We come in and we slay, because we have to be twice as good to get half the recognition. So I definitely was used to that. And I had babies to feed, so I was going to make sure I was on the top of my game. In comes Diane's assistant to be our manager. She smiled in my face. She did the little wave that they do. I thought we were all good. And then comes our half-yearly review. I got that review, you would have thought I never came to work. So I said, this has got to be a mistake. My work ethic did not change just because my manager changed. Oh, no, 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 no. This is it. Her supervisor, I guess the manager of the department, I'm trying to remember who she was. I think the manager of the department sat down and went over that, and the manager had to be in the room because it was such a bad review that they could get HR involved. So I was shook. I'm like, whoa, hold on. Wait a minute. What is going on here? So I go back to my desk and I'm like, wow, what happened? I look at all my stats and I'm thinking, there is no way. Well, we had to have a follow-up meeting with HR because a review like that caused some disciplinary needs. But you know, as they normally do, they underestimated you, girl. This review that I got that miraculously disappeared in thin air, no one knew that where it was and that it existed. I had a copy of it at home. Yeah. Self-preservation. That's what being Black means. Survival of the fittest. So as we're talking, I produce that review. What is that? A review that I got 6 months prior that was stellar, along with, boom, letters from other reps saying how helpful I am, how they come to me for support, how I'm very knowledgeable. Don't play, because we don't. I got kids to feed. I can't mess around with y'all. Like, not even a little bit. So because of that situation, they changed my department. I went into marketing, and the rest is history, because I went into sales and marketing, and my career has been one that I've made progress every step that I've gone and every different company that I've worked at. But I tell that story for multiple reasons. I was 24 at the time. I needed that job. The only crime I committed, the only bad thing that I did at my job was to be smart, was to be thorough, was to be good. And the biggest was to be intimidating. I intimidated the new person. I intimidated the manager. That is our story. A lot of times, unfortunately. I know I'm not the only one because me and my friends talk about it often. That happened to me at 24. And at about 44, I had a very similar experience, different industry, but still very white male dominated, where I got a new manager. The people brought me on, excellent worker, excellent, my customers. But I got a new manager who'd come in. And when I tell you of 700 reps, I was the only African-American woman. He probably had never even dealt with women like me in such close proximity managing. A, he was a new manager. B, he had never managed an African-American woman. And I just had to ask him, what's the problem? You're just a challenge to manage. How? I'm out in the field. I don't even need you. So how am I? This man had me writing weekly reports as to my whereabouts. I was writing follow-up summaries to meetings. I mean, things that nobody else, none of the other white men on my team were doing. Crazy, crazy. In 20 years, nothing had changed. So you know what I said? If I'm going to be discriminated against and maligned and people are going to try to manage me out of the business because they don't know how to manage me or because I'm intimidating or because they're not confident, I'm not going to play small. I'm going to go ahead and bring my full authentic self to the room. Because for too many years, I've been code switching. For too many years, I've been assimilating. For too many years, I haven't fully involved myself and engaged myself in conversations because maybe they went skiing every week or they went to their vacation home and I didn't have a vacation home to go to. Or I've skied, but you know, I do Black Ski Weekend. I'm a ski bunny, but I'm not a skier. You know, I may have gone to go see Too Short or E-40 and they would have no idea who Too Short or E-40 was because, you know, it wasn't mainstream. It wasn't Will Smith or it wasn't Jay-Z, someone that they could relate to. So I realized I had been in spaces and been uncomfortable or trying to make others uncomfortable. And I wasn't going to do that no more. Mm-mm. No, because that was too much work. That was that emotional tax that I was paying at the job. And it was too high. It was too high. I was too loyal and I worked too much to get the kind of punishment that I got. It was not deserved. Now, there are times when I have deserved some type of correction, some type of behavioral guidance for sure. But in these instances, no, not at all. It was pure, she's Black. I don't like it. I don't like her or I don't like me. It's one of them, but none of them have anything to do with my work. So that's why we're going to have these conversations. We're going to talk to some women and talk to them about how they navigate the corporate environment. And why is it so important for us to navigate it? They give us 63 cents for every dollar that a white man makes. It takes us 19 months to make the same salary on average that our white counterparts make. We are less than 2% of the executives in the C-suite. At this recording, there are currently no African-American CEOs running Fortune 500 companies. Again, did you hear what I said? At this recording of this episode, there are no African-American women CEOs at any Fortune 500 company. So why is it so important for us to be successful in those spaces? So we're going to have those conversations. I know why it is for me. A, I love working. A, I'm passionate about the work that I do. And I've needed to raise my children. And I wanted them to have a lifestyle. And I wanted me to have a lifestyle. And I wanted to make impact. And I wanted to be compensated enough where I can pour into my communities. And I can be an example to my community. And I can be an example in the workspace of what Black people and what Black excellence looks like. But again, at what cost? 2020 has definitely been an interesting year. May 25th, For 8 minutes and 46 seconds, we watched a Black man be killed in front of us. It was difficult to escape. I went to work that next day, and it was business as usual. It's always, what have you done for me lately? Where was the sensitivity? Where was the compassion? I said, you know what? I'm not making anyone feel comfortable anymore. I'm about to make some phone calls. We have a missed opportunity here. My fellow Black employees were all feeling unseen, unheard. All the things that we normally feel, invisible, not respected, not thought of. It's like my fiance and I were at a resort this weekend, and on two separate occasions, he was in line and white people just stepped in front of him. That's how they treat us at work at times. That's how we felt in the wake of the George Floyd murder. It's what happens to us. So not only do we have to navigate the landmines in our corporate environments, but then we also have to navigate those landmines at home. Because African-American women now are some of the most educated of those getting bachelor's, master's, doctorate degrees. We're about between 60 and 70% of those getting those degrees. So we may be in relationships with men that are not excelling at the same rate. We may be in relationships with men that are blue collar workers. So how do we navigate and balance that? I know how I've done it in the past, playing small as we do, or being with someone who thought the concept around 50-50 was okay. And I wanted to pull my weight. And so I acted like it was okay too. Nope, I don't do that anymore either. I walk into the relationship understanding and knowing I want to be cherished. I want to be provided for and I want to be protected. I don't care if I make $40,000 or $400,000. I want to be cherished, provided for, and protected. And I'm going to be your number one draft pick. I'm going to be a team player. And every dollar that I make, we decide how we invest it into our legacy and changing our lifestyle and impacting our community and investing in our community. But 50-50, I'm not your roommate. Nope, not at all. But in that, how do we make sure that we make that man feel good? How do we make sure that even if he may not make as much money as we make, he still feels like a king? So ladies, we got a lot of responsibility. Having it all for some is more challenging. I am so excited to be talking to some of these women who are executives, who are badass bosses. Some who actually have said, that's for the birds. I don't want to get 63 cents on the dollar, and have gone out and they're extremely successful entrepreneurs. We're going to be able to pick their brains. We're going to be able to understand their journeys. We're going to be able to listen to their stories. Many of them we can identify with. Many of them we can relate to because it was us, it has been us, or someone that is close to us. We're going to have these conversations so we can talk about how we navigate the hurdles and we make sure that we avoid the landmines. We're able to come home and be Susie Homemaker, if that's what we want to be. How do we take off that CEO title and that CEO hat at the door and we become a nurturing, caring, compassionate caregiver at home? It's definitely a balancing act. And you have to know who you are. You have to be comfortable in who you are. More importantly, you have to manifest the man that is going to support you. So I'm definitely looking forward to our episodes of Leader and Lover, where we will navigate these conversations with our guest, hear some of their stories, and really be able to celebrate, be inspired, and aspire to be better as we are on our journey of having it all. Thank you. I am Charisse Feigner, your host, the Leader and Lover podcast. I appreciate your listening.